Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
From the lakefront to the riverfront, this is where Wisconsin sports fans come to talk. The Bill Michaels Show. Now, here's your host, Bill Michaels.
Good day to you. Welcome. Bill Michaels Show on the air. Hopefully you're having a good day. Good day today. And I want to get into what Mike Daniels had to say on the NFL Network coming up here in just a moment. I want to remind you this portion of the program being brought to you by Cousin Subs. The Reuben is back for a limited time at Cousin Subs. All you have to do is download the app on your mobile device or just stop in. Pick one up for yourself, like I said, for a limited time. Or there's a variety of things from salads and soups and sandwiches and stuff, extra stuff like cookies and chips, and they've got it all. Cousin Subs has it all. They are the official sub sandwich of the Bill Michaels Sports Talk Network. Great people over at Cousin Subs. I want you to take a listen to this. This is what Mike Daniels had to say on the NFL Network.
What about your team? You gave us some names earlier.
Correct. I got some more.
Another piece?
I got some more. Why not, right? I definitely a guy who I definitely would love to play with is Aqib Talib. He's a little nuts, as you would say. You know what I'm saying?
Dog, he got that dog in him.
Exactly.
Yeah, he got
we need
dog
them dogs. We need them. You know, and then he's a great veteran presence. Yeah. You know, we did a good job bringing Devon back in that corner room, and it's always good to have veterans at such a critical position like that. And another guy, Malcolm Butler.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. No, that's another guy.
Y'all get both of them. Y'all going to the Super Bowl.
Oh, no, we're going to go
already
by a lot.
Already?
Well, I mean, he's already named like six pieces that he wants them to go out and get.
Got a whole new team.
So when you look at or listen to what Mike Daniels had to say, he said, one, we need a dog. We need somebody who's got dog in them. Okay? So there's a level of tenacity that he's basically saying, look, we don't have it right now. Okay? We don't have that tenacity. Secondly, He gets somebody specific and says, look, Aqib Talib. He'd like to get Aqib Talib. Malcolm Butler, I think a lot of people have talked about that, you know, look, he's coming off of a Super Bowl winning team. We know that Malcolm Butler wasn't necessarily highly thought of coming out of that whole situation. But Aqib Talib, he's another corner, played for the Denver Broncos, has won a championship. The problem is he's 32 years old. He's 32 years old, and he's going to be, he just turned 32, as a matter of fact. So how much, the Packers aren't really big into taking guys over the age of 30, but if you're going to go from Malcolm, or if you're going to go from Aqib Talib, if you feel you need both of those guys, what does that say about your secondary, or at least the thought of what your secondary is? And how much is, say, a guy like Aqib Talib worth? He signed a six-year, $57 million contract. $26 million of that guaranteed with the Broncos going back to 2014. Obviously, you're going to say, well, the money's going to be on the downward side because you're over the age of 30. So how much would you pay a guy like Aqib Talib? A couple years, $18 million? A couple years, $22 million? I mean, what is he going to be worth? He signed a six-year deal worth $57 million, 26 of that guaranteed, just under $10 million a year. You're going to give him $7 million a year? Try to hit him up for seven or six? 855-830-8648. That's who Mike Daniels said he would like to have.
Well, Talib is under contract.
Well, Talib is under contract. But he's talking about, correct, you are correct. It was a four-year deal. Or a six-year deal. I'm sorry, six-year deal.
He's under contract through 2019.
Right. Let me see here. Hold on, real quick.
I have everything right here, Bill. Cap hit for Aqib Talib in 2018 will be $12 million.
That's regardless if they keep him or not.
$12 million. 2019, $8 million.
Okay, so it goes down dramatically. So you're not getting Aqib Talib. So for him to mention that, see, my assumption was is that he knew something that maybe we didn't know. Like he would say Aqib Talib would be the guy. Malcolm Butler would be the guy that's out on the open market. But do you want to see a guy like Malcolm Butler come in here? He's an experienced guy, and I think they need that back there.
You know what I'm finding funny here about all these top corners? They all have character issues. God forbid,
be a bit of a nut to play corner.
Well, I mean, that's just the thing now. Like Malcolm Butler, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters, all these guys they've got some sort of character issue. They got some sort of attitude. But I'll flip that around and say,
hey. No. Aqib Talib, if he's let go, they only owe it's $1 million on dead cap.
Yes, that is correct.
So if they cut him loose, which they could, and save that money, it would only cost them $1 million as opposed to paying him $12 million. So that I can understand being the reason as to why that he would say Aqib Talib if he believes Aqib Talib is going to be let go.
Correct.
Because it wouldn't cost him anything to cut him loose going into next season.
Correct.
Or going into the 2019 season.
But going back to what I was saying about some of these guys with their character issues, look, you have to ask yourself this. Do you want to take a risk with a Malcolm Butler, Aqib Talib, Marcus Peters now as a Ram, but do you want to take a risk on a guy who you know what they have talent-wise as a corner who's going to be better than what you have right now in your secondary, or do you take a risk and say, okay, let's have another rookie, let's draft another rookie, and hope to God he steps up in his first season and is a stud? I mean, what do you want? Or do you want the Devon House type where, yeah, you can get him on the cheap, but is he really going to be a reclamation project? Devon House, a lot of people were hoping he was a reclamation project last year because Pressman was his game and he wasn't doing that in Jacksonville. And look what Devon House got you. I mean, number one, he couldn't stay healthy, but when he was on the field, Devon House didn't give you a whole lot.
Nope.
So at this point, you have to say, where's the risk here? And I understand with the Martellus Bennett stuff, I was frustrated as everyone else, and I got annoyed yesterday when people kept tweeting at me and saying, hey, yeah, Marcus Peters, he's got character issues, but you know what? I'm still going to take that risk because the talent of Marcus Peters is what the Packers desperately need right now. And I know it's a red flag that a lot of these teams weren't willing to make a trade for Marcus Peters, that the Chiefs were just trying to give him away, but for the Rams, even if Marcus Peters doesn't work out for him next year, they don't have to re-sign him. Is losing a second, fourth, and sixth round pick a big loss? Is it? Is it that big of a loss? If you sacrifice a second, fourth, and sixth round pick.
If he didn't have the craziness to him, that's a steal. I think what people are looking at is he played for a player's coach in Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. He excelled as a player in Kansas City, but they still wanted to get rid of him for as much, like you said, for a cheap amount of return.
Right.
So the question then becomes why?
Well, for the Rams' sake, though, is it that much of a risk for them to take him on? Because, again, Marcus Peters is going to be due money soon in the next couple of years. Mm-hmm. And if the Rams, if let's say Marcus Peters goes there, you know, has a good year, but he's jawing to the refs, he's making a big deal, he's throwing flags in the stands like he did last year, he's getting into it with the coaches, and the Rams decide, you know what, Marcus Peters, we're not going to put up with your crap anymore, see you later, someone else can sign you. Is giving up a second, fourth, and sixth round pick, is that big of a deal? I don't think it is. For the Rams, it's a smart risk for them. Because I don't think giving up a second, fourth, and sixth round pick is going to break the bank if you're the Rams. And in the Packers' case, the Packers have all these draft picks. Why not get in on that? Apparently, and I saw this today, Bill, I don't know if you saw this. The Chiefs apparently called every NFL team and said, hey, what's your interest in Marcus Peters? And 28 of the 32 or 31 said, no, we are not interested at all. And the Packers have not been reported at all as a team that showed any interest in Marcus Peters. Now, again, if Marcus Peters works out for the Rams...
Again, there's a bunch of teams that need corners, and apparently his head has cost him a boatload of opportunity.
That is a loud statement. It is. But again, if you're the Rams and Marcus Peters doesn't work out here in the next year or two, you don't have to re-sign him. You can cut him loose, and all you gave up was a second, fourth, and sixth round pick. I'm just saying, if the Packers want to have a good defense, they will need a stud corner. And that they had an opportunity there to get him. Now they still have an opportunity here with Malcolm Butler. Trumaine Johnson's on the board. E.J. Gaines is on the board. Aaron Colvin's on the board. It will be irresponsible by this Packers organization, Bill, if they don't sign one of these guys this offseason.
855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Do you agree with Mike Daniels, an Aqib Talib type of guy? Do you agree with Joe that the Packers should have been on the Marcus Peters situation? Is Malcolm Butler an attractive offer for you coming into the free agent market as maybe a guy that could get back in the secondary and guide some of these younger guys? Who would you like to see fortify the secondary? And here's the other question. Out of all of those names, is Marcus Peters most likely would be yes, but Aqib Talib, Malcolm Butler, are they really locked down corners? We'll get into that discussion too when we come back. More of the Bill Michaels Show next. To the program, the Bill Michaels Show on the air. This portion of the program brought to you by our great friends over at Marshfield Clinic Health System. You have something ailing you, they can help you out. I know there's a lot of just junk going around right now. You may need a prescription. You may need one. If you do, you probably don't feel like heading to the doctor and spending the time getting there and back and everything. So what do? Well, call 844-CARE-AWAY. That's 844-CARE-AWAY. Maybe they can help you out right over the phone. Get you a prescription sent to the location, the pharmacy near you. And if they can't, you don't pay. The maximum charge would be $40. That's it. Call them. 844-CARE-AWAY. That's 844-CARE-AWAY. That's the Marshfield Clinic. Just another way they help you help yourself. Good people over there, Marshfield Clinic. Let's go to the phone calls. Talking about the secondary of the Green Bay Packers. Mike Daniels says that he wouldn't mind playing with Aqib Talib, Malcolm Butler. Either one of those guys, if indeed Aqib Talib is on the market. We'll wait and see. But Bob listening to us on Oshkosh on the score. Bob, how you doing today, man? What's going on?
Great wife, Mr. Michaels. Thank you for fielding my phone call this Friday afternoon. I couldn't agree with you more, man. It's very frustrating. I implore the Packer management, Gutekunst, Mr. Murphy, whoever the hell's listening, man, get off your asses and get these guys signed. Get the big nasty into that. We need that veteran leadership back in that backfield, and we need a good linebacker, too. We got the best leaping quarterback on the planet. Let's get the piece together and get it done, please.
Yeah, I think I appreciate the phone call. I think most people are of the same ilk of they just want to get something done. They want to get something out there where they can say, okay, they're definitely fortifying that defense. Because, I mean, that's the thing. I mean, look, for as good as Aaron Rodgers is, you know the offense is going to move. Okay? You need to fortify the defense in some way, shape, or form. You got to get it into at least legitimately top 15. Legitimately in the top 15. If you don't, you're just, what are you doing? 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Give us a shout. Let's get to Eric listening to us in Madison on the Zone. Eric, how you doing today, man? What's up?
Hey, Bill. How you doing today, sir?
Doing well.
Excellent. Love your show as always.
Thank you.
I was thinking, how about the kid Fuller from Chicago? Kyle Fuller, is that his name?
Yeah.
I think his name's Kyle Fuller.
Correct.
He'd be a pretty darn good signing, wouldn't you think?
Kyle Fuller, he was just cut loose, as a matter of fact, wasn't he?
Yeah, exactly. That's my point.
Yeah. He was labeled, by the way, I appreciate the phone call because you bring him up. He was labeled as the best free agent corner by NFL.com. He went from that rookie on the rise to in the doghouse last year. The 14th overall pick in the 2014 draft, he was impressive his rookie season, thrust into a starting role because, remember, Charles Tillman had the injuries. He had 64 tackles, 10 pass deflections, 3 forced fumbles, 4 picks in year one. and had a lot of promise. But last year he had 2016, I should say, he had some injuries. Came off of an impressive campaign last year. Recently named the top corner available on the free agent market by NFL.com. Greg Rosenthal and Chris Wessling compiled that list. And he put together a hell of a year. He ended the season with 69 tackles, 22 pass deflections, and a couple of picks. He was big in that defensive coordinator, or for the defensive coordinator, Vic Fangio, in that system. There's a lot of speculation that he wasn't a guy that fell into line, so to speak. According to Pro Football Focus, he played a team-high 1,017 snaps at corner last season. He was targeted 119 times, allowing just 61 catches with two touchdowns, two picks. Opposing quarterbacks recorded just a 69 rating when throwing in his direction last year. So think about that. Think about that. Going back to the initial comparison, it was Casey Hayward, a second-round pick of the Packers back in 2012. He put together a solid career with the Packers, but then went over to San Diego where he really started to excel. They said, look, between those two guys, those are the comparable numbers. And he's gone to the Pro Bowl the last couple of years while the Packers are still looking for consistency at that position. But so they said, look, if you're going to pick somebody up, a guy that would know that system, a guy that would be good in the North would be Kyle Fuller, coming out of Chicago. I don't know if I'd go out and pick him. He's not the same name as Malcolm Butler or Aqib Talib, but certainly when you look at it numerically and teams and quarterbacks specifically throwing in completion percentage against him, it's nowhere near. I mean, statistically, he's really solid. Those guys are nowhere near where he was.
But he's more of a nickel corner.
But he is more of a nickel corner. I agree with that. He's not the turn and go speed guy. And it does say cautionary tale is he's not your lockdown corner. But he's a guy that they didn't throw out a ton because he was just that good in nickel coverage. You still need that outside burner lockdown corner, Aqib Talib, Malcolm Butler, those two guys than what would be Kyle Fuller. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. Wisconsin Life says, here's the Packers free agents they should be looking at. Brad M, the linebacker, Trumaine Johnson, the corner, which if he's cut, which we assume he will be now by the Rams, he would be the guy that's out there. Kyle Fuller, LaMarcus Joyner, Trey Burton, the tight end. He believes that Trey Burton would help this team mightily as well. This one's from Concierge. Concierge Ray. He writes in the Wendy's email inbox. He says that I like Aqib Talib. He would be the same type of acquisition as Charles Woodson would be. He would be a veteran. He would be a guy that's coming in to look for another ring, although Woodson didn't have one when he got here. He didn't win one with Oakland. He would be a guy that would bring that veteran presence. I still think he has a lot left in the tank. I don't think he has as much as a guy like Woodson had because Woodson was the defensive player of the year, but Talib could come in and really solidify that secondary, specifically if King comes back. I like what Demaryius Randall brings to the table. I just don't know if he's going to bring the good or the bad, so let's put another veteran back there and shore up our bets. Appreciate the email. Concierge Ray. I've said it all along. My priorities are right tackle gets solidified, edge rusher gets solidified, lockdown corner. Kyle Fuller is more of a nickel than he is more of the lockdown guy. Aqib Talib certainly has that reputation, and Aqib Talib played in a hell of a defense. Now that defense had a better front rush, and don't forget when you got Von Miller on the outside, you're going to benefit from that. But you need that veteran experience back there. 855-830-8648. Let's go to KJ real quick in West Dallas. KJ, how you doing, man? What's going on?
What's going on, Bill? Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
The Rams just became the new Legion of Boom in the West, man, picking up who they picked up, Marcus Peters. That, along with Aaron Donald and Long out there, they're going to be dangerous for years. Russell Wilson better start playing baseball. I don't know why the Packers didn't jump on him, man, like a cheap suit, because that guy can play. I know he's a bit of a head case, but they should have picked him up. Aqib Talib, they need a veteran out. Forget the draft, man. They need to get somebody that's experienced, that can get back there with Kevin King and show him how to play in the secondary in the NFL, somebody that's been around.
Mm-hmm.
If they got to go out and get Malcolm Butler, get Malcolm Butler. They got to spend the money. They got to get somebody because the clock is ticking, man, and they got to go out and do what they got
to
do.
Yeah, Malcolm, I appreciate the phone call. If you go to walterfootball.com, they rate the free agents when it comes to the cornerback position. Malcolm Butler tops everybody. The one guy that I've seen mentioned numerous times has been E.J. Gaines. The problem with E.J. Gaines is, for as highly as he's been rated, he's been banged up. He'd rate a lot higher if it wasn't for the fact that he's got poor durability. He missed 26 games the past 3 years, 5 games last season alone. They talk about Bryce Callahan, the restricted free agent from the Bears. He's a 3.5-star guy. Trumaine Johnson, who we talked about with the Rams, coming out of the Rams system. Patrick Robinson has undergone an up-and-down career ever since being the 32nd overall pick back in, 2010. Maybe he's a late bloomer. He's going to be 31 in September. Who else on that list? Denard, the cornerback from Cincinnati, although he doesn't rate nearly as high as some of these other ones, but they like him because he's a hitter. Yeah, Joe.
Can I correct myself?
Yeah.
The Rams actually gave up 2 picks for Marcus Peters.
Was it a second and fourth, or was it a fourth and sixth?
It was the second and fourth. The sixth round went to the Rams. The Chiefs gave up Marcus Peters in a sixth round to the Rams. So the Rams gave up 2 picks, and they got a pick back for Marcus Peters. 2 picks!
They really didn't want Marcus Peters.
I'll tell you.
The more you read that deal, they really didn't want
him. If Marcus Peters works out for the Rams, look out, guys.
Mm-hmm.
That defense, like KJ just said, look out. And the Packers are going to have to deal with that defense.
Mm-hmm.
This season.
Yep. 855-830-8648 on the loansbykip.com toll-free talk line. If you go with the top five cornerbacks that we just listed, a lot of people talking about this kid coming out of the Bills. I don't know, man. There's enough players missing time. You're looking for guys to be there. 855-830-8648. Yeah, I'm not going to go with him. Somebody else brought up the guy coming out of Cincinnati. Nah. He's a hitter. He's not a speed guy. That's the biggest thing. You need a speed guy. And you need somebody with height. You need somebody with height. Because otherwise you got Demarius Randle. You're Demarius Randle. You're 5'10", and you've got good speed, but you don't have the ability to go up and over bigger wide receivers. We'll continue this discussion. Also, Bob Nightingale joined us a little bit earlier. We're going to talk some baseball as well. Bob Nightingale, MLB columnist for USA Today, he was here a little bit earlier. If you didn't catch it, you're going to hear that coming up next on the Bill Michaels Show. Welcome back. Bill Michaels Show is on the air. Getting ready to hear from Bob Nightingale from USA Today, the MLB columnist who joined us a little bit earlier today. By the way, we are heading less than 2 weeks away now, heading out to Arizona. Less than 2 weeks away, heading out there. Compliments of our great friends over at Coach's Pub and Grill. Cornet and the whole staff, home of the Big Boy Burger. Terrific fish fry for Friday nights. They're on South 13th Street in Milwaukee. They have shuttles to the games as well. A lot of great packages over there. Stop in to Coaches. Tell them we said hi. Good people. I've been hankering for the Big Boy Burger over there for quite some time now. Got to get in there. Also, Brooke and Pat and everybody over at Signature Limo. That's what I use, as you know. Whether it's for a special occasion or maybe heading to the airport, getting that ride back and forth, whether it's down to O'Hare or even into General Mitchell. They got you covered. That's Signature Limousine. Call them 262-888-1000, 262-888-1000, or check them out at info@booksignature.com. And also the official vehicle for the Bill Michaels Show, live from spring training. That is Breger Chevrolet. Check them out at B-R-A-E-G-E-R, BregerChevy.com, BregerChevy.com. And they have over 200 Silverados on the lot right now. They're dealing to be the best in Wisconsin, and they start right there in their own backyard on South 27th Street as well. You can check out their new-look store. It looks like a fine hotel over there. Great atmosphere in the place. Go to BreakersChevy.com. Stop in and say hi to my buddy Glenn, who is in the service department also. If you need some service, Glenn's a great guy. Really good guy. Talk with Bob Nightingale, MLB columnist from USA Today, a little bit earlier in the program. And we just kind of said, okay, first and foremost, for what the Brewers have done and where they're at right now, give me the helicopter view.
Well, yeah, they made, two great moves in the outfielders. I love the move getting Wade Miley. I think he's a good innings eater, back in the rotation will be good. That being said, they've already invested so much, you got to keep going for it. So I think they need one more starter, if not two, and a frontline guy. If you don't want to pay Jake Arrieta, fine. But then either go maybe Alex Cobb or Lance Lynn. But I think they got to start, I think before the season starts, they got to get one of those three guys.
Some will say that they're ahead of the rebuild, so they don't have to do something if they really are still kind of committing to that rebuild. But I'm with you in the sense that when they made the moves and they picked up Yelich and they picked up Kane, and you thought, okay, this is the flurry we've been waiting for. I mean, they signed Lorenzo Cain to that big deal. You certainly thought that the dam was going to burst when it came to free agents, and then Darvish signed. I knew they were involved in that. I don't know to what extent, but we kind of were waiting for the other shoe to fall. What has been the holdup, in your opinion?
I think he's waiting for the price to drop. I think they'd like to get a starter around the $12 to $13 million range, then times, two or times three, however many years the contract is. But I think he's waiting for the price to drop, like a lot of teams. Minnesota Twins, same boat. They're waiting for that price to drop. So we'll see what happens. But, yeah, but I agree they're ahead of the rebuild. But because of what you did last year, surprising everybody, and what they've already done this year with the trade and free agent market, I think you got to keep going, or else you're going to waste a year of those outfielders.
We look at the Cubs, obviously, as the top stander in the National League Central. Where do you see the Cardinals? The Cardinals are that kind of conundrum. They've got a lot of guys over the age of 30. They've got a couple of good arms, and then they've got a guy like Wainwright, Mikolas, who is 29, edging up on 30. They got some aging guys on that team. Where do they stand, in your opinion?
I think they're similar to the Brewers. Right there, I think they need a closer. They're going to go by committee or go Luke Gregerson. I think they need more than that. I thought the Osuna trade was fabulous. I mean, this guy's a monster. And, as good as Yelich is, he's not in Osuna, who's just a difference maker in a lineup. So I like that team. I think Wainwright will be better. Obviously, they need Walker to come on. They need Martinez to finally be that ace he's supposed to be. But I think very similar to the Brewers. It's almost a coin flip right now, which team is better.
Obviously, they get rid of their manager last year in Dusty Baker. The Washington Nationals, all their chips are to the middle of the table. They know they're about to lose Bryce Harper unless they're able to kind of come up with some kind of a miracle and re-sign him. Certainly, they have some money. I don't know where Washington stands right now. Is this their last gasp effort to keep all of this together and make one more push, or do they come up with the money to re-sign Bryce Harper and keeping him Washington?
I think they'll make a strong, strong run at him. We'll see if they can outbid the Dodgers or somewhere else. I don't think he'd go to the Cubs. I mean, the Cubs already have Jason Hayward out there. They're not going to be able to move that contract. So I don't think it's necessarily the last run, but maybe the last run of just best chance to do it. I mean, how many times in the world have we all picked the Nationals to win the World Series or get there? And every year, just a first-round flop. They have outstanding pitching staff. I still think they're going to get Jake Arrieta. If they get him, awfully hard team to beat. But yet, at some point they got to shake off those first round jinx.
Who else comes out of the East, if anybody at all? Washington, obviously, clearly last year, 20 games better than the second place Marlins, and the Marlins have had the fire sale there. So, is there a team? Is Atlanta? Are they maybe ahead of the curve a little bit when it comes to starting getting some of that talent to come to the majors and start to really become productive? Or is it the Mets? I mean, where is the East right now? Because it seemed like it was a mess last year.
I think it's going to be a mess again, but that being said, I like the Mets. I think the Mets, their pitching should bounce back. If they stay healthy, they can give the Nationals fits. And I think they're going to get a wild card spot at least. The reason being is you look at that division. You got three teams at division who really aren't trying to win. The Phillies aren't ready. The Braves aren't ready. Surely the Marlins had the fire sale. So you get to beat up on those teams where it makes it harder for a team like the Brewers, to get a wild card spot or win the division, and same with the NL West, And on West, you got five teams all, you know, all trying to win.
Talking with Bob Nightingale, MLB columnist for USA Today. Going out West, you mentioned the West. The Dodgers head and shoulders above everybody else. Did the Diamondbacks get better or worse in the offseason?
You know, I think they got better. And the reason I say that, I think they would have won a wild card spot with or without J.D. Martinez. They only had Martinez for 2 months. Paul Goldschmidt really slumped badly the month of September. So, you know, now they got Steven Souza an entire season. So I think they've gotten better. I don't know what's good enough. I think Colorado's gotten better. I think that division 1-5 may be the most competitive division in baseball just because – I think San Diego, you know, should win at least 75 games. It's just never going to be an easy night against anybody in the NL West.
Who are the better teams in the American League? Still battling between Boston and New York, or is there somebody that's going to challenge out East?
Well, I still like Boston over New York because of pitching. That being said, I think Houston's easily the team to beat. I mean, I think they're so much better than everybody in baseball. I mean, they won the World Series last year. And now you got Justin Verlander for entire season. You got Garrett Cole for entire season. Things can happen. But I'd be shocked if they're not, I'd be shocked if they don't win at least 95 to 100 games again back in the playoffs and probably going deep in the playoffs.
You mentioned the Twins earlier still looking for some pitching. How far away are they from where Cleveland was? And then obviously Kansas City, they had their run. Then they were kind of looking last year like they were going to be a cellar dweller, and all of a sudden they had a little bit of a resurgence, ended up with 80 wins in the season. They're a couple of years removed, 3 years removed from a World Series. Where does that whole division, because we know Chicago's in a rebuild, Detroit's trying to get into a rebuild. Where's that division?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's still Cleveland's division to lose. I mean, they're still the juggernaut over there. Things went perfectly right for Minnesota. They're not going to keep the Cleveland. The rest of the division, is rebuilding. So, now, same thing. I'd be stunned if Indians don't win at least 100 games over there. I think Minnesota's got a chance to have a season like last year where they make the playoffs in a wild card. But I think I don't think anybody's going to touch the Cleveland in the AL Central.
We were talking about the East for a moment, and I wanted to get back to that. A couple of different articles, one very harsh, obviously coming out of Deadspin, but a couple other articles that I've been reading about the Tampa Bay Rays. Kind of getting rid of everybody. They've got a bunch of revenue sharing, $45 million in revenue sharing. They've got $35 million in the final year, the local TV deal, $50 million minimum in a lump sum from the sale of MLB's digital media. I mean, they got a lot of money coming in, and they don't seem to be getting much value for what they're giving up. What's going on with the Rays?
Well, I think they just look at it and say, you know what? We're not going to be able to compete with the Yankees. We're not going to be able to compete with the Red Sox. So let's go the other way. It worked in Houston. It worked with the Cubs. Both teams, did the complete rebuild in 4 or 5 years. Both teams are juggernauts. So I think the Rays are doing the same thing. Let's stockpile some young talent here and try to go for it when we have actually a legitimate chance to win. And right now, we don't have a legitimate chance.
Going back to the legitimate chance in a rebuild, kind of coming full circle with the Brewers, I wanted to get back to your opinion. Doug Melvin started it when he started trading pieces away just before David Stearns took over. They've got a lot of talent in that minor league system. They've been able to utilize some of that to make some of these deals, obviously picking up Yelich. How far away are the Brewers from being there year in and year out, maybe battling with the Cubs, or is this that year that you really look for them to take that next step forward? Or with the success they had, do you take a young team, take a step back, regroup, and then you really start to make your push?
No, I think they started making a push last year. They added on to it. I mean, they had a phenomenal first half, kind of hit a wall there. But I think they're just going to keep getting better and better. And, the Cubs farm system, they got a lot of money. The Cubs farm system is thin. That window was closing, I think, quicker than people think. St. Louis has got a great farm system. They got tons of pitching. So I think it'll be a great three-team race, if not this year, at least a year from now. I still say the Cubs are the team to beat, but the Brewers are coming. And I think everybody respects what they did and the job that Craig Counsell has done. Managing the team.
Hey, Bob, one more question and I'll let you go, but the bottom half of that division, Pittsburgh and Cincinnati, both teams in the midst of a rebuild. Cincinnati started about the same time, maybe a year later, than the Brewers did. How far behind are the Cubs and the Reds in comparison to the rest of the division?
Yeah, neither team will be compete. It's hard to see Pittsburgh or Cincinnati winning more than 72 games. So they're both rebuilding. Pittsburgh showed that they are, but, you know, Treyway, Andrew McCutchen, and Garrett Cole. I just think it's going to, you know, you got to beat up on those teams if you're going to get a playoff spot. Those are the teams you got to take advantage of. So I think they're still years away, at least 3 years away.
Bob, always a pleasure. Great reading your stuff in USA Today as well, and look forward to talking to you down the road, okay?
All right, my pleasure.
There you go. That is Bob Nightingale from USA Today, the lead MLB writer, and great stuff all the time. If you ever get a chance to read his stuff in USA Today, by all means, do so. Certainly appreciate him joining us on the Schneider Orange Hotline. Schneider hiring drivers right now. You work hard, they treat you fair. 80-plus years, they begin to get done. Call them 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. 844-PRIDE or go to schneiderjobs.com. When we come back, we'll wrap things up, talk a little Marquette before we get out of here. More of the Bill Michaels Show coming up next. Welcome back. How we looking? Bill Michaels Show is on the air. You can always follow us over on Twitter at @Bill_Michaels, @Bill_Michaels. Track us down there. You can also find Radio Joe over on Twitter as well, @RadioJoeSports. Find us on the Facebook fan page, facebook.com/TheBillMichaelsShow. Track us down over there. Website's always a good way. BillMichaelsSports.com. That is BillMichaelsSports.com. Or just Bill Michaels Sports. You can download the app as well. We're an app now. This portion of the program brought to you by Quick Trip. And I stop in there just about every day, as a matter of fact. But I have started earning rewards now. That's right. They have a rewards program. So every time I go in there, I spend a little money. I'm saving a little money. Stockpiling a little money over at Quick Trip. Go to Quick Trip, KWIKTrip.com. QuickTrip.com. Find out all the details and information. Get yourself signed up for some rewards. And then every time you stop there, you start earning yourself some gash in return. Great stuff, and that is from our good friends over at Quick Trip. Coming up tomorrow on the program, there is a Green Bay Packer who has said, "Don't worry, we got this. We'll be the number one seed." What? That's right. We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow on the program. Marquette, by the way, I wanted to get into this. We didn't get a chance to give it really its just due, but Marquette gets a nice closeout win against Georgetown. 90-86, they knock off the Hoyas. Andrew Rousey dropped 9 of his 28 in overtime, by the way. Sam Hauser also finished with 28. Marquette in that ballgame, remember when Marquette couldn't hit a three-pointer or couldn't shoot beyond the arc to save their life? They had 18 of them last night. 18 of them last night. Just incredible. They can shoot the lights out. And they get a win, but ultimately they're 17-12 on the season. So, just my opinion, they need to get 3 wins going into the conference tournament. But they're 8-9 in conference. So, you know, is as much as I want to give Marquette, you know, I shouldn't say they rounded out their season. They rounded out the weekend. They have one more game left, and that's against Creighton. So I want to make sure I get that straight. But they're still sub 500 in conference. They're 8-9 in conference. Now, if they can get a win over Creighton, a team that's 9-7 in conference, 20-9 on the season, maybe they get back to 500, get a couple of wins in the conference tournament. Maybe. I doubt it. I don't think they're going to take 7-8 teams out of the Big East. They may take 6 solidly. But I, Xavier and Villanova are there. Seton Hall and Creighton most likely there. After that, is it Butler, Providence, Marquette? And then they just leave Georgetown, DePaul, St. John's out, or, you know, and the rest out, or, you know. I don't know. I think Marquette, the DePaul loss just hurts. Just hurts. Just does. I think that didn't do him any favors. I don't think they're in the tournament. Others have somewhat agreed with me, but I don't know. To each his own. I just don't think they're in. I think they're NIT bound. Just my opinion. I think they're NIT bound. That loss to DePaul hurt. The loss to St. John's hurt. Those are tough losses, man.
They have no business losing to those teams.
No, not at all.
And I think
Xavier, Villanova, okay, I understand. Butler, you know. But St. John's and DePaul, just when you needed it the most, you had a real shot. You beat Seton Hall. You should have beat St. John's, knock off Creighton, get a win over St. John's again, then beat DePaul. It wasn't a strength of schedule down the stretch that you wanted, but you should have just packed in wins. And then to lose to the two worst teams in your conference is just those two losses did them in my opinion.
You know, I don't, I understand Marquette's they're a very young team, but they got enough firepower to at least get on a run of some kind. It wouldn't have surprised me if they actually did get on a goofy run in the Big East tournament. They have enough to get into the tournament. I just don't understand why they keep slipping up against bad teams.
That's going to cost them, though. If you come down to a team that's got a better RPI and you start looking at wins and losses, specifically teams hot down the stretch, that's going to cost them.
They took another step back this year, if you ask me. If they don't make the tournament, if they don't get on a run and they miss the tournament, that's a step back. And that's
they have got a lot of pressure going into next season because there's going to be some much-needed results. We're going to talk to Tim Allen tomorrow, live from spring training. Recap the Bucks and the Wizards coming up tonight. Paul Lemmick's going to talk to us, our green and gold analyst. And don't forget, there's a Packer that says, number one seed in the NFC. Yeah, we got this. We'll talk about that coming up tomorrow as well. Time for us to go. Have a good one. See you.
Vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.